What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the All In Podcast. We have a special episode for our 50th episode. We are joined up once again with the All In Politics crew. My dad, Rob Cooper, is here on the podcast with us today. How are you doing?
What's going on, family? Good to
be
back.
Not much. My guy Mike Badzik is here with us as well as always. How's it going, man?
Yes, sir. This is like big, right? 50th episode. We've got a pretty big election, I hear, is coming up next week. So we figured it'd be a good time to bring on the GOAT, Mr. Rob Cooper Jr., to talk some politics with us.
Yeah, so Walt Burwell will be joining us soon. He's having some technical difficulty, so we'll be adding him in soon. But we have some important topics to get to today. Before we do so, remember, we have now started working with MyBookie. So you can use the promo code ALLINPOD, and MyBookie will match 100% of your first deposit up with a minimum of $45 and up to $1,000. So make sure you guys use that promo code on the website for your first deposit, and you can... get your first deposit matched up to $1,000. Let me see if we can bring on Walt here. Walt, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, there he is.
All right.
Right, Walt.
So we are all set, ready.
Back in the house. Thank you.
No problem. So let's get right into it. All In Politics is joining us today. And like Mike said, we have a very important election coming up. Obviously, November 3rd is this upcoming Tuesday, so we're going to talk about some upcoming topics there. Let's start with Biden's crew first. What are some of the keys to a Joe Biden win in this upcoming election?
I think, you know, the keys are right here where we live, and the keys rely in the Keystone State, Pennsylvania. All eyes and all hands are on deck in the great state of Pennsylvania. Those of you who may know the makeup of the state, it's I think James Carville said this back in the early 90s when he was running a senatorial campaign for Harris Walford. He said Pennsylvania is made up of Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Alabama in the middle. And it's interesting, 30 years later, that kind of still holds true. It's a very diverse state, but the key parts of Pennsylvania is that it's very rural in the middle part of the state. So, everyone knows about Philadelphia. Everyone knows about Pittsburgh, which I think Joe Biden has to really carry, both Philadelphia and the surrounding counties, as well as Pittsburgh, Allegheny County, and the surrounding areas to really have a chance. And he has to win big in those particular areas, because in between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh is folks will call it Trump country. That's where, you see all the Trump signs, you see, a lot of Trump support there. So, Trump is going to carry, central Pennsylvania big. Now, the key, I think, for Joe Biden in Pennsylvania, we know, Philly's going, he's going to carry Philly, and we know that he's going to carry Pittsburgh. But the key for Joe Biden is to really siphon off some votes in the center part of the state. So I'll give you an example. Just in some of the counties in the center part of the state, Trump beat Hillary Clinton back in 2016 by a margin of maybe 70 to 30. So what Biden would have to do, he doesn't necessarily have to win those counties, but what he has to do is make it, close enough. perhaps make it, you know, instead of losing 70-30, maybe if he can get it to, you know, 65-35 or better yet 60-40, I think that will be enough for him to secure Pennsylvania's 20 electoral votes.
Gotcha. So, Walt, what are some of your keys to a Biden win in this upcoming election?
Just to piggyback off what Rob was saying, as far as some of these battleground states and some of the pickups that it looks like he's gaining momentum on, it's just a mere fact of what he's speaking to of basic Americans' needs at this time. I mean, we have a great unemployment rate right now. We also have this pandemic, what's going on, which he has definitely failed at in outstanding proportions. And it's just a time for a change. I know we've heard the slogan before, but now we got to start holding these politicians to task. The current administration that's in there now is totally deplorable. I mean, they're saying things like, you know, once Joe gets in, 3 weeks later, he's going to get shot, or saying that, yeah, the pandemic was coming and we estimated over, you know, 2 million to be lost, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, this is uncalled for and reprehensible coming from an administration that's supposed to be looking after the wants and the needs of the American people. I mean, we're right now at a pivotal point. It is imperative that everybody goes out there and exercise their right to vote. Like I said, right now, we're...
Yeah, and I'll jump in with the White House's, you know, they put out a statement last week, and it's kind of a plur, like, why should you vote for Donald Trump? Coming from the White House, and one of the bullet points they had was ending the COVID-19 pandemic. It's not over, right? Like, it's not over. Like, we're actually seeing cases rise heavily. And, like, I think 40 of the states have seen cases rise. Hospitalizations, which I think is probably a statistic that a lot of people might even care more about, even if you're a Trump supporter and you're saying, well, you know, a lot of cases, but there's not hospitalizations. Well, we're actually seeing the hospitalizations go up, too, in a lot of these states. So I think as we're coming down to it now, more people are going to look at that and say, he's not doing this. He's trying to put this behind us. He's even saying in a press release that it's ended. It's clearly not ended. It's affected so many people. I think that's going to be a big key. And I think Rob, you're absolutely right about Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania and Florida seem like the biggest two right now. If Biden can get really either one, he has a really good chance. If he gets both, it's pretty much over. But, you know, you look at some of the statistics coming out of those states. I think Florida, he has a very good chance because of some of the older population that is in Florida, and, you know, Trump's proposed cuts to Social Security, Medicaid, and Biden's plans to maybe expand those. I think maybe that helps him there. But one of the big demographics that has kind of shifted, right, if we're looking what happened in 2016, what's going to happen in 2020, what needs to change, or even what happened in 2008 and 2012 compared to 2016 and what did change, one of the big things was suburban women.
Right.
And if you look at suburban women, Trump won suburban women against Hillary Clinton, like 48-46, I think was the number. But in 2018, suburban women came out strong for Democrats. 2019, they came out strong for Democrats. And looking at, you know, a lot of the polls, and we can talk about polls and if they're misleading, it looks like Biden's winning suburban women by almost 10 points. And Trump knows that. He's starting to feel that. If you've been tuned into any of his recent rallies, he's almost pleading suburban women, like, please, yeah. Like he has said, please vote for me. And he claims he's joking, of course, but I don't think he is joking, because if he loses suburban women, that shrinks his base down even more, right? If we were talking who's the Trump base, it's mostly, you know, mostly generally speaking, it's not college educated white men and suburban women. And if he loses suburban women, he's going to be in real trouble. So I'll be looking for that statistic.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And there's some what I would call like new swing states that are up for grabs in this election, which is another shocking thing. Like Texas has become a state that's up for grabs now. A state that I believe hasn't been blue since 1976, correct?
That's right. I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah. So, I mean, for that to even be a toss up at this point, is another one of the big shifts that we're seeing here that, you know, obviously wasn't even in play in 2016. And Biden from, you know, different polls have him leading or behind by only a point or two in Texas, which to me is mind boggling. And that's where, you know, Republicans typically dominate.
Yeah.
And Trump has lost a ton of ground in Texas. So what's going on in Texas? What's why is Biden gaining so much ground there?
Well, I think it's the demographic change. You know, I went to Texas, Dallas specifically about 2 years ago. You know, and I just remember, you know, I was really surprised. I had my preconceived notions of Texas before, you know, going down there. First of all, my hatred for the Dallas Cowboys when I went down there. But, you know, going down into Texas, you know, I first thing I recognized were, you know, as I was driving in the Ubers and in the Uber cars around, I noticed that all this construction was going on between the Dallas and Fort Worth area. All these lofts were going up. And don't quote me on the facts, you know, Google it, but I'll just for conversation piece, I think my Uber driver said, yeah, man, you know, this is 2 years ago. He said like 7 new people are moving into the state, you know, every single day. And they're moving in from, you know, different parts of the areas. It's funny because, you know, when I was, you know, going into my hotel room, I'll mess with the bellhop guy or whatever, and I'll say, hey, you know, how about those Cowboys after, you know, the Eagles beat them? He said, hey, I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm a San Francisco 49ers fan. So, you know, right. It was like, you know, all these you know, so he's like, I said, really? A San Francisco 49ers fan in Dallas Cowboy country? He said, well, I'm not from Dallas. I moved in here from California. So you're seeing a lot of folks who are moving into it, moved into Texas over perhaps maybe the last decade. And I really believe that the demographics are changing. And we kind of saw some warning signs of this. First of all, Donald Trump only beat Hillary Clinton by less than 10 digits. Now it was by 9 points in 2016. And then if you guys remember, Beto O'Rourke made a really strong statewide run against Ted Cruz, yeah. who's mm-hmm. a staple down there for the Senate seat there. I think he only lost by a few points. So Texas and Georgia, you know, the New South is starting to you know, show up and rear its head in this 2020 election. You know, of course, you know, we still have 5 days left and to see if these numbers are true, it remains to be seen. But looking at some data right now, you know, Donald Trump is up. And as I mentioned, he beat Hillary by 9 points in 2016. Right now, it appears that he's up by two percentage points in Texas. Wow.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. Sorry. Well, just real quick, like, 9 million people, about 9 million people voted in Texas in 2016, which is super low turnout for a state that big. There's already been 7.8 million ballots cast in Texas just from early voting. So their turnout is going to be way higher, which we know historically favors Democrats.
Yeah.
Indeed.
What were you going to say, Walt?
I was just going to add in, too, the migration during that Hurricane Katrina episode as well.
Displaced
a lot of individuals and changed the demographics and the landscape of that whole region. So you're going to see the demographics change in a great proportion as well.
And you know, thinking about that, you know, I guess for every action there's a reaction. So you saw some voter suppression laws that came through. I think the governor was a Republican governor, Governor Abbott. You know, he put this ruling in saying that you can only have one drop box per county. Well, Harris County, which Walt was talking about, which a lot of folks came in from New Orleans from Hurricane Katrina, you know, years ago, came into Houston, Texas. You know, Harris County, they said it's the size of the state of Rhode Island. So to have one, you know, drop box, basically imagine having one drop box in the whole state of Rhode Island. That's really absurd. But, you know, as we mentioned, for every action, there's a reaction. The Houston mayor was on, I believe it was MSNBC, about two or three days ago, and he's really excited about the energy level of the voting that's going on in Houston. In fact, I believe in 2016, they had about a $4 million budget for the elections. Now I'm hearing that they have like a $33 million budget. So election polls and things like that, instead of closing at, you know, 5, 6, or, I'm not talking for early voting, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock, their early voting polling sites are open until like 10 p.m. And I believe, you know, speaking of sports, I believe the Houston Texans and the Houston Rockets had some voter outreach programs that were going. So all this has really increased the enthusiasm of the voters in Texas. But, you know, the enthusiasm is just not in Texas in some of these, you know, swing states. As you mentioned, Elijah, you know, we're looking at swing states in Iowa. You know, I saw a stat where Joe Biden's in striking distance in Montana. Really? Arizona is showing, you know, Biden leading North Carolina, Georgia. And Mike, I'm surprised you didn't talk about Ohio. I mean, we're starting to see a little changes there. What's going on there on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, it's looking like, I mean, you know, if I'm just basing it off of signs I see on the street, there's a lot of Biden signs. And also looking at national polls, like Trump looked like he was going to carry it for most of this election cycle. And in the last couple of weeks, and I don't know what it necessarily is related to, if it's the COVID increases again or what it is, but Ohio seems to be looking a little blue right now. I saw Biden winning last week. Now it looks like Trump's ahead again. Right now, I think Biden is just barely ahead. If you're looking at polls, the early voting is insane right now in Ohio. I'll tell you that. Even from my personal experience, I had to wait 2 hours in line. It's been that line every single day at my polling station. And, you know, there's only one in the county, like you say. There's only about one per county. But it's been insane. So I think Ohio, there's a real chance. And you talk about all of these states, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina. Biden only really needs one or two of those, you know, swing states that aren't supposed to be swing states. And you look at Georgia, I think that might be his best chance to get one of these is Georgia. Look at how close Stacey Abrams was to winning that governor seat. She lost by 1 point. And really, you could make the argument she really won that race. There was some foul play, I think, in that election. So I would not be surprised at all if Georgia went for Biden.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. On and I'll let you get right to you, Elijah, but I just want to piggyback off a quick point that you just made about Stacey Abrams. I think she announced, I think last week, they announced that they registered 400,000 new folks in Georgia.
Wow.
But she actually, on purpose, she sandbagged that number because she didn't want any backlash from the Republicans. So she came out and actually officially said last week, she said, I think I can announce it now on the Joy Reid show. She said, actually, I lied. We actually registered 800,000.
That is awesome.
So, you know, it was, and again, to the fact that she had to sandbag her numbers just to kind of keep that, you know, keep it a secret from, you know, the opposition in an American democracy is absurd.
Yeah. And speaking of secrets happening within our democracy, I think that's a good transition to talk about an article that was written on ESPN today that went up this morning about NBA owners making anonymous donations to political campaigns. And if we're being honest, these are billionaires. We know where that money's going. And an anonymous source who spoke with an ESPN writer who is writing this 6-part series said that majority of these NBA owners are Republicans and are making anonymous donations. And the way they do that is basically they do it with you know, without their name being on it, by donating to nonprofit organizations where they don't have to make their donations to these nonprofits viewable to the public. And then these nonprofits donate to super PACs who then support and funnel their money into, you know, the Trump campaign. And when they make their donation, the nonprofit's name is what's on it. There's no trail of where they got that money from to make that donation because the donor who gave them the money was anonymous. And, you know, with what we saw in the bubble and the issues that the players have brought up, the NBA has, you know, from a visual standpoint, right, been great in as far as, you know, doing what the players want, having these ads about voting and the importance of systemic racism and educating people, they've been better than any other sports league. However, what does that really matter if these owners, you know, are behind the scenes donating millions and millions of dollars to the Trump campaign, doing whatever they can to silently get him reelected? So, Walt, I'm going to let you start here. What were your thoughts on, you know, the claims made here in this article and what the players can do to kind of combat this?
I would say that I'm unmoved by it. I'm unswayed for the simple fact that we've known that they had political ties to the Republican base for years. I mean, I think that the air that we're in right now, the climate that we're in right now, is just making it more, you know, prevalent as to what's going on behind the scenes. But they've always had connects to the Republican base and did what they did for years. The fact that they're playing both sides of the spectrum, that's a whole nother thing, because it's like you're robbing, you know, Peter to pay Paul. And I know my counterpart Rob is going to touch on Mr. O'Shea Jackson, but he plays into the Benedict Arnold spot as well. Like I said, these guys get into a position where they know that they're in a win-win situation. I mean, they have the multimillionaire, they're multimillionaires. And just because public opinion doesn't sway their way is not going to stop their bank flow.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, Walt, the way you just mentioned it, and I will just kind of piggyback off what you just said. Yeah, that's corporate America, you know, playing both sides. And that's just, and you know, I will say this, that the NBA is no different than any other large corporation here in America. They do play both sides of the fence. I was taught, you know, when I was involved with organizations, you know, early on in my youth, they said, you know, if once you spot it, how do you spot a hypocrite? You put them to work. And, you know, you give them assignments. And I think that, you know, when you ask how should the players combat this, I think the way they combat what they've done so far is the actual right approach to this. You put them to work. You say, hey, we want you to open up the arenas that we play in, that you make millions of dollars for, that we fill. We want you to fill them up with that same enthusiasm, with people having the opportunity to come in and exercise their constitutional right to vote. We want you, you know, to take some of this advertising, you know, airtime. Instead of me selling some sneakers for 30 to 60 seconds, we want you to put a commercial on, buy some airtime, promoting, you know, folks to go out to vote and promoting the democratic process. So I think that, so although they can't control where their owners' monies go, And quite frankly, you know, that's totally their right. You know, you know, the rules apply to that. So I'm not really mad at them, you know, for that. I think that, and quite frankly, that's business. I'm not going to say it's good business, but it's business. And I'm sure they never intended this information to go public like it went.
Right.
But I think the NBA players, their approach to this has been spot on so far.
Yeah, that was a lot of my takeaway from this was like, well, I'm not really surprised, right? Like I didn't really expect them to actually put their money where their mouth is. I would have loved to think that they would have. And that's something that me and Coop talked about when the whole player strike was being talked about before the bubble even started. And we were talking about how, you know, should the players even go to the bubble? Should they sit out to try to send this message? Well, my kind of take on it was, well, I think your best option would be to tell these owners to put their money where their mouth is. And, you know, these are the political campaigns we want you to donate to. These are the funds we want you to contribute to. That's not really what happened. And I think some of the quotes in the piece were kind of telling, like one of the owners, he said, you know, I want Trump to win because I'm afraid of all the Biden taxes and regulations, stuff that probably isn't really that true. But, you know, he's scared of it. And he said, I'll vote for a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, and then Trump can block everything. Well, like, that just kind of shows, right? Like, you're not really into this. You just want it for show, right? We want to do this stuff for show because, you know, as me and Kuv also talked about, like, it's politically And it's monetarily advantageous right now to be on that side of the aisle, right? The Black Lives Matter side of the aisle. That's become a popular movement in America. So like it makes sense monetarily to show your face on that side. But at the end of the day, these are billionaires and billionaires are going to billionaire, right? Like they don't want to have actual change because that means it's going to hurt their pockets in some degree. It's a shame. I was not totally surprised.
And that's interesting that you go ahead. Yeah, no, and that's a good point that you made, you know, where they really don't want change in one direction or the other. You know what I mean? They don't, and I'll just give an example. They don't want things to go too far to the right, and they don't want things to go too far to the left. Because when you go too far in one way or the other, you tend to fall off a cliff. I think to your point, Mike, you know, they want a more balanced. They make their money in a democracy. Let's just keep it, you know, 100. You know what I mean? So if they could keep it balanced and they could keep it gridlocked while they continue to make their monies, you keep the 99% of the folks, you know, arguing with each other. Like, for instance, you know, I heard Jeff Bezos, who's the richest man in the world. I hear he's a Democrat.
Really?
Right? I heard Warren Buffett is a Democrat.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, it's interesting. They're going to play both sides, the political spectrum, because they can't predict the outcome of elections. However, what they can do is whoever wins, they feel so that they can manipulate it, mm-hmm. by filling up people's gas tanks.
Right.
Who's in office.
And also, remember, they put their money on both sides of the spectrum as well. So when one fails, the other one plays the support role.
Right.
All right. So let's get down to some election predictions to close out the show here. We'll start with some key battleground states. So let's give predictions for PA, Florida. We'll do Ohio as well. We'll throw Texas and Arizona in there. So let's do those five states. Let's give a prediction for each of those five, how they come out in which favor. So, Walt, we'll start with you.
PA, I think that Biden will pull it out. As you see, the voter turnout in Philly alone was crazy. I do believe that the situation that just happened the other day with the police situation and the shooting was unfortunate. But I do believe that it did play a little bit into the role of politics of trying to divert the news story from the voting. A lot of people was getting out, and I think that's going to play a huge role. But Pennsylvania in general, some counties do go towards Republican base, but I think that, you know, the lack of effort in the coronavirus response, unemployment, and like I said, just the basic needs of the constituents is like at an all-time low with morality. So I think it's leaning more towards Biden. Ohio is kind of hard to pull out right now. I think they're running like a margin of error, what I think like 2-3%. So I think that Biden does have a chance to get it, but he's going to have to go out, put more troops out on the ground to get some groundwork in. Florida, I believe that's going to turn back into the Democratic arena. There's a lot of things that was promised and given to them. DeSantis is doing a horrible job down there. I know they definitely going to want to get rid of that guy. He's an absolute train wreck.
Yeah.
Georgia, I do believe Georgia is going to go blue. Like you guys had indicated earlier with Stacey Abrams and her situation, I definitely believe there's going to be some retribution and payback for that. Just the way that the voter suppression was just highly seen and visible at the time. I do believe that the voters are going to make themselves heard in that area, and they're going to pull through with the Democratic ticket. The other one, you said Michigan. What was the other one you mentioned?
We had Ohio and Arizona.
Arizona. Yeah. That's a tough call. I got that one coming neck to neck, but I believe that we can squeeze that out. More advertisements, more ground people. They got to get rid of them misleading robocalls and voter intimidation tactics down in that area. But like I said, for the most part, I think that we have a good chance at it. I'm looking at it that the Democratic ticket will pull it out. Like I said, we just need to do more work and consistency on the aggression level.
And do you think Biden wins it overall?
Oh, indeed. Indeed. I think by a landslide. But like you said, and as we all know, just because we're up right now, we don't keep our foot off the gas. We keep our foot to the gas and the boots to his neck. We got to get everything and everything all the way up until the day of and the day before and the day of election that we keep putting these polls in our votes.
Yeah. So, Mike, what are your predictions for some of these key swing states and
who's
going to win it overall?
So I would say Arizona, Ohio are both going to go Trump. As much as I am optimistic about both of those states, I think he ends up pulling those out. It's really tough to win those states for the Democrats right now. So I would go Trump in Ohio, Arizona. I think he still gets Georgia. As optimistic as I am, and as much as they've done, it's still the Deep South, right? And things have been changing. But I think that, and we're making these predictions. We don't know. We also don't know what the Supreme Court is going to do as far as mail-in ballots, right? So if the Supreme Court says, like they said in Wisconsin, that we're not counting mail-in ballots after the election, well, like that kind of screws a lot of things up. So I'd say Trump gets Arizona, Ohio, Georgia. But I do think that Biden will get Michigan, which is a huge one that Hillary Clinton could not carry. And I think that cost her big time. I think he's been a little bit more active. And I think that the way that Trump has gone after their governor is not a good move.
Right.
Not a good move for him. So I do think Biden gets Michigan. And then PA and Florida, which are probably the biggest two that we're talking about here. I think Scranton Joe gets PA. Barely. It's going to be close. And I'm worried about it, but I think PA likes Scranton Joe, and I think that they're, now we'll see, because the fracking comment, and obviously we probably know that comment is taken out of context, and maybe it's BS that he's getting so penalized for. But I'll tell you what, in Western PA and in Central PA, they care about fracking, and if when Joe says about the fracking and he doesn't want to do it anymore, and he comes out and says the next day, "That's not really what I meant. I meant the federal funds." Right. Well, that's unfortunately not how politics works all the time, where you can say something and then the next day correct your mistake and everyone will accept your correction.
So
I'll go Joe gets PA, and then Florida, I think Joe gets Florida. It's actually funny. We do think of older voters as more Republican leaning, but we actually see with a lot of the polling, the older voters that are like 65 plus actually lean Joe. I don't know if it's because he's 77 or if because they like his plan on Social Security, they like his plan on Medicaid. He feels like an adult in the room, whereas I think Trump kind of gives them a bad vibe, So I think because of that, and because of the fact that COVID has hit Florida so hard, and we know that it's disproportionately affecting older people, right? They're more affected by it. They probably care a little bit more, even if we should all care. They probably care a little bit more because they're affected by it. I think Joe gets Florida. 538 predicts that if Joe gets Florida, he's got about a 99% chance to win.
Right.
So I got Joe taking it.
All right. So Rob, your predictions. Okay.
So I'm looking at nine of the closest races states. And it's interesting because maybe if we talked maybe 7 months ago, we were only talking about three states that this election was going to come down to. And that was Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan were the states that we were that were in discussion, particularly when it came to Biden grabbing a W. Now we're talking about nine, and I'm gonna go through some of these states if you guys don't mind. Start with Ohio. I think Joe Biden, there's some promising numbers out for Joe Biden today. I think Quinnipiac had him up maybe 2 or 3 points, I believe, in Ohio in the latest polls. However, Ohio has always been a state that I pretty much have colored red. So I don't see now with 5 days left any reason for me to change that. I believe that Donald Trump will hold on to Ohio again. But oddly enough, though, here's a state that was not in play when we're talking about Iowa. This is a state that I always thought that was in play for Donald Trump. And we just see some, later flips for Biden. Here's why. I think the China trade deal was an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And a lot of the farmers in Iowa are suffering, particularly, I believe, in the soybean market. And then you put that on top of the governor, who's extremely unpopular there based off of her handling of the coronavirus. And it's interesting, Mike, you pretty much cited that all throughout your commentary on this election. It is COVID-19. This is the COVID-19 election. So I think that is enough for Joe Biden to carry Ohio. Georgia, really? Are we here? I think we are. I think we are. I think, we actually, have seen the demographic changes in Georgia for quite some time. And especially with Stacey Abrams pretty much put this, she pretty much put this state state literally in on the map. And I believe that Joe Biden has taken a decent lead and really has not really relinquished this. And Trump has done very little to be able to, recapture that state. So Georgia, I'm giving to Joe Biden. North Carolina is another one. Again, being on the ground there just professionally, seeing the changing in the demographics in that particular state. Mm-hmm. Plus, they have a largely popular Democratic governor there, Governor Cooper, who's done an outstanding job. I think he was up 10 points in the latest poll. I think he's going to carry that state as governor, and I think he's going to bring Joe Biden and also probably bring Cunningham, who's running for Senate. Texas, believe it or not, drum roll. I'm picking an upset. Upset special. Just based off of the information, just being on the ground there 2 years ago, seeing the demographic changes with Beto O'Rourke has done there has been tremendous. And I believe that Biden will outperform Beto in Texas. Arizona is another one. I kind of lump Arizona and Texas together, that kind of southwest of the area. I think the demographics are very similar there. And Joe Biden has gotten that lead in Arizona. And again, Trump has cut into that lead, but he hasn't taken over that. And then Nevada, I'm saving Pennsylvania for last, but then, Nevada, that I think I've got to give Bernie Sanders a lot of credit for really developing and shoring up Nevada. He won it, very easy in a blowout, I think, in the primaries.
Yep.
And Bernie Sanders, holding them. Quite frankly, I'll be remiss. I'm going to come out and say that whole Southwest area, including Texas, the credit has to go to Bernie Sanders, and the work that he and his team has done really paved the way for Joe Biden. And finally, Pennsylvania. I can't agree with you more, Mike. I think the change in this election happened, I believe, in that first debate. And I know it was a train wreck for Donald Trump, but I'm just going to say the optics of things. When you had that split screen, this is the first time America had to see on the split screen and see a old white guy, 77 years old, from rural America, coming from Scranton, Pennsylvania, against this old white guy from New York City. You know what I mean? Yep. Who never, yep, as Joe said, wouldn't know the suburbs if he made a wrong turn into it. it is no surprise that Joe Biden's national polling ratings went up from a 7-point lead to a 14, damn near doubled right after that debate. Yes, it had a lot to do with Donald Trump's poor debate performance, but I think the optics of things, and I think Americans saying, hey, you know, really, when it gets down to it, who can we trust? This guy from Scranton, Pennsylvania, this guy from Main Street in Main Street America, or this guy who's in the pockets of Wall Street? So out of all the nine swing states, I'm giving Joe an 8-1 victory, and I'm as well as calling a landslide victory. Wow. In fact, I don't believe that Donald Trump will get the 200 electoral votes, so I'm calling it a landslide victory. In fact, I'll just make this statement on record here. I think that Joe Biden has a better opportunity of getting 400 electoral votes than Donald Trump has of winning this election.
Oh, let's go. I'm hype.
Okay, so certainly, I do think it's going to be a landslide. How much of a landslide, I'm not sure. Of those nine swing states, I would say I'm not confident on Arizona. For some reason, it still feels maybe that's 4 years away from being a blue state in a presidential election. I think Texas sounds good, but I'm not 100% sure that Texas goes that way. And Ohio would be the one that I don't think he quite gets. I think all three will be close, yeah. which honestly, that says a lot. But I do think Biden pulls out the other six that we've discussed out of those nine. And again, I think it ends up being a landslide as well. Like you guys all said, you guys made great points. I think COVID will play the biggest factor in Florida, who was probably hit the hardest or one of the hardest in the country. And like Walt said, their governor has handled it so poorly that even Trump has called for his head, and not for his COVID tactics, but just in general. I don't think anyone wants DeSantis in Florida. And I think that actually backfires on Trump in the presidential election. I got Biden in this one. I do think he probably gets over anywhere from, 325 to maybe 350 electoral votes in this one, to where it gets pretty ugly. And then the Supreme Court will have to, find a way to rectify it for Trump. And then
that's where
the real action will happen. This is going to be a landslide win, as it needs to be, because if it's close at all, they're going to rig it. Even if it's a landslide, the Supreme Court's going to do anything that they possibly can to keep Trump in office. And that is going to be more interesting than what we see on election night. Yeah, good luck. But that's going to be more interesting than what we see on election night.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be good. Yeah. It's not going to be close on election night.
Well, I tell you this, man, we all going to celebrate. D'Alessandro's on me.
As you can see on your screen here, in the comments, we posted a link where you can find different polls and things like that available. So that wraps up all the topics that we had for today's show. So we have some exciting news, though, that we want to talk about as far as the network goes. We have a new app available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, the All In Network app, developed by our partners at Pod Squad. So thank you to them. They've been working hard over the last month or so to get this developed for us. It's still in its infancy. I don't know if you guys have all seen it just yet or downloaded it just yet, but make sure you guys go download that on the App Store or for iPhones or Google Play Store. And on there, you can follow our social media feed, which would be Twitter is on the app right now. Where we'll have announcements and things like that. You can easily link to our website. Right now, the All In Podcast is the only audio feed that's on there. We are working on getting the rest and obviously adding some new features and updates and things like that. But this app will be your way to stay in touch with everything All In Network, as far as even our articles and blogs, our podcasts, any new things that we have going on. Eventually, as we add more to the app, all that stuff will be accessible through there and things like that. So go ahead and download that on your smartphone or tablet so you can stay in touch with us. Mike, anything you wanted to add that we have going on at the network?
Yes. Well, also go to allinnetwork.net. That's where you can kind of find everything right now until the app is all the way ready to go. Our friend Dave, you could probably Shepke. Say his last name. Shepke is going to be writing some fantasy articles for us, some start sit him stuff. So we're excited to have him kind of join the family. And yeah, make sure you're checking out all these All In Politics episodes getting ready for this big election.
Yeah. So guys, from the All In Politics, you guys have another episode that you're going to be releasing this weekend. Why don't you preview that a little bit for.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick. Yes. Tomorrow night we will be recording at 7 o'clock. We will be joined by the folks at the Dump Trump group. It's a Facebook following. Over 7,000 followers are in this group, led by Toby Schwarzcastle, who I had the pleasure of working with her in my old radio days. We're going back now 30 something years. She was one of our newscasters and really astute when it comes to politics. But we will be digging into, we have some real strong guests that will be joining Toby to really dig into these analytics and look a little bit, take a deeper dive into what we kind of tease tonight on some of the elections and some of the predictive models that folks have been watching, and just tell folks how they can read, you know, do it. But the key thing is, we could talk analytics, we could talk predictive models all we want, but the key thing is you going in there and filling out your ballots and getting your vote in. And particularly, I know you reach a different audience, a sports audience. Folks, if you have not been out there to vote, we strongly encourage you. This is really your last chance I'm just going to come out and say, save democracy. Democracy is on the ballot. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm just going to say, when you look at it, you know, vote now, because you may not have an opportunity to vote in upcoming elections. So this is how serious this election is. You know, I know they always say, you know, this is the biggest election of our lifetime. Well, truly, this is the biggest election of a lifetime. Democracy is on the ballot. 250,000 people who died during COVID-19 are on the ballot. So let's do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, guys, make sure you get out there, exercise your right, exercise your voice, make sure your voice is heard. This is the best way to impact and affect change in America. So with that, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the All In Podcast / All In Politics Podcast. If you're listening on audio, make sure you guys check out the new All In Politics episode coming out this weekend. And if you're watching on YouTube, that video will be available on our channel as well. So make sure you hit that subscribe button, leave likes and comments, things like that on the video, and leave those comments so that we can, you know, have things to discuss and things that you guys want us to talk about. You know, feel free to, you know, tweet at us, hit us up on Facebook, any of those social media platforms. So we hear, you know, what you want to hear as a viewer. So thank you guys again for tuning in, and we will see you guys on the next episode of the All In Podcast on Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.